Hello, this is Anvati. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Thursday, July 17th, and coming up in today's episode. Supreme Court hints a woman committed a crime by having extramarital affair during a rape case hearing. Air India AI-171 crash probe updates. MK Stalin raises Kachatibu dispute issue again. And as Israel attacks Syria, Iran issues warning to the US. The Supreme Court, while upholding the anticipatory bail of a man accused of rape, slammed the petitioner woman for having an extramarital affair. For background, the man was accused of raping a woman on the promise of marriage or on the false promise of marriage. Only one twist, the woman is already married with two kids, and the court based their ruling on this fact as well as many other factors. The court also warned her that she might be liable for prosecution for having physical relations with another man than her husband during their marriage. However, the offence that the court is alleging is not clear as of yet, given that adultery has been decriminalised in India in 2018 and penal code sections related to it were abolished. A bench of Justices M.M. Sundaresh and N. Koteshwar Singh made the remarks while hearing the woman's petition seeking the cancellation of the anticipatory bail of the man she accused of rape. When the woman's counsel argued that the man continued to have physical relations with the woman by falsely promising her marriage, the court told the woman, "You are a married woman, you have two children, you are a mature person, and you understand the relationship that you were building outside the marriage." The counsel then told the court that the man had called her to a hotel room many, many times for intimate acts. To this, the Supreme Bench said, quote, "Why did you go to the hotels repeatedly on his request? You very well understand that you have also committed an offence by having a sexual relationship outside the marriage," unquote. The married woman and the man had met in 2016 through social media and had been in a relationship ever since then. The woman had alleged that she sought a divorce from her husband under the pressure and insistence of her then-partner, which was granted by a family court on March 6th of this year. Shortly after the divorce, the woman asked the man to marry her, but he refused. Angered by this, she filed a complaint with the Bihar police, accusing him of sexually exploiting her by making a false promise of marriage. As the legal issues began, the Patna High Court had granted anticipatory bail to the man on finding that the two had not indulged in any intimate activity after the woman's divorce from her husband. Air India has completed precautionary inspections of the locking mechanism of the fuel control switch or FCS in all its Boeing 787 aircraft and found no issues, officials of the Tata-owned airline said. These checks were conducted after the Civil Aviation Regulator, the Directorate General of Civil Aviation, DGCA, on Monday issued a directive to inspect the FCS of specific Boeing aircraft models by July 21. The Aircraft Accident Investigation Bureau, or AIIB, report into the crash of a Boeing 787-8 Dreamliner in Ahmedabad had said the fuel cutoff switches for both engines were moved to the cutoff position one after another within a 1 second interval at an altitude just moments after liftoff. Quote, "All our Boeing 787-8 aircraft have undergone throttle control module replacement. As per the Boeing maintenance schedule, the FCS is a part of this module," the Air India said in an official statement. Quote, "Over the weekend, our engineering team initiated precautionary inspections on the locking mechanism of FCS on all our Boeing 787 aircraft. The inspections have been completed and no issues were found," unquote, the official said. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, the first officer flying the Boeing 787 Dreamliner asked the more experienced captain why he moved the switches to cutoff position shortly after the flight took off from the runway. The first officer then expressed panic while the captain remained calm, the report said. The details of the preliminary report suggested that it was the captain who turned off the switches, the Wall Street Journal says, citing people familiar with the matter, US pilots and safety experts tracking the probe. The report didn't say whether the turning off switches might have been accidental or deliberate, says the US publication. Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin has raised the matter of Kachatibu dispute once again, this time pleading directly to the Prime Minister of India. He has called for PM Modi's direct intervention to resolve the long-standing Kachativu dispute and secure the release of Indian fishermen and boats detained in Sri Lankan prisons. In a sharp attack, Mr. Stalin alleged that the BJP-led central government has failed to protect Tamil Nadu's fishermen over the past 10 years while simultaneously politicizing the Kachativu issue without taking any tangible action. Quote, only a direct intervention by the Prime Minister can bring a lasting solution for Tamil fishermen. Unquote, Mr. Stalin asserted, questioning why External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar has not rebutted Sri Lanka's recent claims on the issue. The Chief Minister referred to Sri Lankan Fishery Minister Douglas Devananda's remark that Tamil Nadu fishermen frequently trespass and that Colombo would not return the Kachativu Island. Mr. Stalin criticized the centre for remaining silent in the face of these claims. He also pointed out that the Tamil Nadu Assembly had already passed a resolution demanding the retrieval of Kachativu and claimed that he has personally raised the issue with the Prime Minister on multiple occasions. Quote, the DMK government will continue its efforts to retrieve Kachativu, he said. In response, BJP spokesperson Narayan Tirupati hit back, saying it was under the Congress regime that the centre and DMK's rule in Tamil Nadu that Kachativu was ceded to Sri Lanka in 1974. Quote, DMK did nothing when they shared power at the centre for 14 years, said Mr. Tirupati. Quote, we have ensured no firing by the Lankan Navy, unlike in Congress rule, where nearly 1,000 fishermen were killed. We even saved fishermen from death then. Death sentence then. Quote, unquote. For a specific question on Lanka auctioning seized Indian fishing boats and crippling the livelihood of Indian fishermen, Mr. Tirupati said, and I'm quoting again, we have held several rounds of talks between affected Lankan Tamil fishermen and Indian Tamil fishermen. Unless you talked with them and find a solution, it's not going to end. I think we're on the right track. Meanwhile, maritime and diplomacy experts have warned that retrieving Kachativu alone may not resolve the issue. The real problem, they say, is the depletion of fish stocks in Indian waters, forcing fishermen to deliberately venture into Sri Lankan territory. They recommend that India consider negotiating a long-term lease for fishing rights agreement with Sri Lanka rather than fixating solely on territorial control of Kachativu. As tensions rise over the island, the issue is set to be a major political flashpoint in Tamil Nadu ahead of 2026 assembly elections. Moving on to updates from West Asia, the Israeli military claimed on Wednesday that it attacked the entrance of a Syrian military headquarters in the capital of Damascus. Meanwhile, Iran has issued a warning to US once again in the backdrop of its war with Israel. First, coming to the Israeli attacks. An Israeli strike had also hit the defense ministry in the capital, two Syrian security sources told news agency Reuters. Quote, a short while ago, the Israeli military struck the entrance of Syrian regime's military headquarters in the area of Damascus in Syria, a statement read. The strikes are a result of the clashes happening in the city of Sweda as the ceasefire between the government forces and Druze armed groups collapsed. Israel is supposedly acting to protect the Druze, as they say. The Druze religious sect began as a 10th century offshoot of Ismailism, a branch of Shiite Islam. More than half of the roughly 1 million Druze worldwide live in Syria. Most of the other Druze live in Lebanon and Israel, including the Golan Heights, which Israel captured from Syria in the 1967 Mideast War and annexed it in 1981. Now coming on to the second update from West Asia, Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said on Wednesday that it is ready to respond to any renewed military attack and that it could deliver a bigger blow to its adversaries than what it gave during the 12-day war with Israel. Quote, the fact that our nation is ready to face the power of the United States and its dog on leash, he referred to the state of Israel, calling them the Zionist regime, is very praiseworthy, Khamenei said. Last month, the United States had launched strikes on Iran's nuclear and military facilities, although Iran had said its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes only. In response, Iran had struck a U.S. base in Qatar. Quote, the base attacked by Iran was an extremely sensitive American regional base, and an even bigger blow could be inflicted on the U.S. and others, Khamenei said. As of now, Iran is under pressure by the United States to agree to a nuclear deal with the U.S., as Washington and three European powers have set the deadline for the deal to be at the end of August. If there is no progress till then, France's foreign minister said that snapback mechanism will automatically impose all international sanctions that were lifted under the 2015 Iran deal and the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV with Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anvati, signing off.